pray together. Father, Lord, I ask that you would still move in this place, that your spirit would still have that freedom. Lord, I pray that as I speak, that you would speak through me. We need a word from you, Lord God. So we pray that you would give us one today. And Father, may I not stand in the way at all. Just use me, Lord. And I pray for the time of invitation, the culmination of all of these things, that we will see people come forward and receive you as Savior, that we will see people come forward for baptism, that we will see people come forward and get on their knees and pray for people they know who are lost, for a country that is struggling, for lives that are hurting. May we just see your people move today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my, it's quite a presence in here today. I'm not as used to this because, you know, I'm typically over in our 1031 service, and that's our kind of modern contemporary service that we have in the Fellowship Center. And we definitely, it gets heavy in that room. But I don't know if you're like me, but I sense just a heaviness, a weightiness in here this morning that is something that I don't think we need to move. I think that it needs to just kind of sit here and soak for a while. And we have been on this series now for quite a few weeks about the kingdom of God. And if you remember, Jesus, when he started his ministry, he said, the kingdom of God is near. And at times we heard John the Baptist and Jesus as well say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when I looked at those growing up, I always associated the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven with the then and the there kind of attitude of the streets of gold, the crystal sea, the hanging out with Jesus, the heaven experience, which is going to be fantastic for those of us who believe in Jesus and have given our lives to him. It's going to be incredible, amazing. We cannot put it into words. Even John the Revelator in the book of Revelation tried as hard as he could to put it into words, and yet I'm sure after he penned the last word of his letter, he goes, that doesn't even touch it. I mean, that's just, I'm just poured out, and that's all I have, and there's no other words to describe it that are in our language, and so you're just going to have to go there to see it. It's kind of like one of the most awesome things that you've ever seen, and then you try to go to your best friend, and you explain it to him, and you're trying as hard as you can, but on his face, you notice that he's not lighting up like you light up when you talk about it. And so you kind of end with, you just have to go there. You just have to experience it yourself. You know, that's what heaven is going to be like. And that's what God has as an offer for you and for me through his son, Jesus Christ. But when Christ came on this earth and started talking about the kingdom of heaven and that it is at hand, he was talking about something that we could experience in the here and the now, not the there and the then. And so this here and the now is what I'm excited to learn about. Why? Because I'm here and it's now, right? I mean, there's something that we've got to learn from Scripture that says that Christ truly does want us to live a life that is more abundant than any life we could have ever imagined. And we cannot experience that life apart from the salvation of Jesus Christ, apart from being joint heirs with Christ to the kingdom of God. We can't experience that without him. Even the happiest person you may know, they may have all the money in the world and they may drive all the nice cars in the world. I've been talking over at 1031 about my favorite car in the whole world. It's a Lamborghini Murcielago. I love it. I drool over it. I want it yellow. I'm just telling you. And I'm probably never going to get that. And there are probably many reasons why I should never have a car like that. One of which would be because I would drive it fast and I would drive it hard and I would put many, many miles on that car. And I know you're not supposed to do that. You ever see those on sale, like online and stuff like that, you know, and they have like 10,000 miles and that's a really high mileage Lamborghini. And thinking, my goodness, I'd have at least 200,000 the first year. I don't even know if my family would see me. I would just be in the Lamborghini all the time. It's just one of those things, right, that you think, man, isn't this huge and exciting, and doesn't that bring us happiness? And And then we realize that, you know what? The truest, most fullest peace and happiness and just contentment that I've ever experienced is only given to me through the things that Christ offers. In the purest, even in the purest sense of family, there are times I want to kill my kids. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not the greatest parent in the world. There are literally times I look at my oldest son sometimes, and we have a power struggle, my oldest son and I. And there are times where I'm like, I'm going to have to show you that I'm 6'2" and I'm in charge, you know? And it gets to that point. And then, you know, I restrain myself, you know, but one of these days we're going to have it out. We're going to wrestle, and it's going to be something. It's, you know. But then what happens is, see, he's only 9, so I gotta let you in on that little thing. So I should cut him a break, I suppose. But when I go and I tuck him into bed, and he looks at me and just says, "I love you, Dad. I love you." It changes me. It changes that 23 hours and 50 minutes of torment that I had with him to 10 minutes of just, this is what it's all about. This is what God gives us. Love. Love in a pure, awesome, incredible sense. And only God can do that. Only God can do that. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you say, "Well, I've experienced that kind of love," count yourself blessed, because it has been a gift from God. Whether you admit He exists or not, it's a gift from Him. Now, today, we're carrying on with our story of heaven and the here and now, and how we can experience that. And we go to two more parables that Jesus taught us in the book of Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 44. Last week, we were in Matthew 13, and we were talking about the weeds and the wheat. The weeds and the wheat. And remember, the wheat before that was the seeds. And so when we throw the seeds, that's what God has instructed us to do, is to throw the seeds everywhere. We don't even have to worry about what kind of soil it is. Do you remember that? That you just throw it. You're just always planting the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're throwing it. We're throwing it. We are seed planters. We are not investigators of soil. We plant. We just throw it. And God deals with the rest. And then last week we learned about, there were times where this wheat was growing up and these enemies came in from Satan and he planted the weeds among the wheat. And the workers came back and said, "Man, what are we going to do about this? There are weeds growing with the wheat. This isn't good. So do we pull them up?" And Jesus said, no, don't pull them up, because you could uproot the wheat with them. Leave them. And one day I'll separate the two. And it was a great reminder that there will come that day when we are going to be separated, that there will be those who believe in Christ and those who won't. And the scripture is full of illustrations of that. So there's no way possible that you're going to stand before God and say, "I didn't know. I didn't." Yes, you know. You choose Christ. That means you choose life. You don't, you choose death. And that's an eternity in hell. But what did that teach us who are followers of Christ about the wheat and the weeds? To leave it. To stop being the Christian Gestapo that goes around and screams at lost people and tell them how wrong they are, or even screams at saved people and tell them how wrong they are. This is the job of the Holy Spirit, not the job of you or of me. And so when we look at the soil and we can't even tell, well, the truth is, when we look at the wheat and the weeds, we can't even tell most of the time. So Christ is in charge of that too. So we throw it, we throw the seed, we leave it, we leave the weeds. And then now what do we do? Where does Christ go from there as he's talking about the kingdom of heaven? Look at verse 44 with me, please, in Matthew chapter 13. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." And then he tells a second story. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Now notice, in the first story, the man sold everything that he had, identical to the second story. Is there any greater price for us to pay? There's nothing else we can afford. All we can afford is all that we have. And here lies the problem. You see, because when we talk about salvation and we talk about eternal life with Christ and we talk about salvation that we can experience even in the here and the now, we forget that the price of salvation is for us to be perfect. We can only be perfect in the sight of God. No sin can enter the presence of God. So we have a problem. We have something that we must have. We have to obtain this treasure. And this treasure is too expensive. We cannot afford it. We don't have enough to give for this treasure. But these men go out and they give all that they have, all that they have, to try to get and obtain this treasure. And we're just one step further than that, because we honestly can't afford it. But let's see what the story says and then see what Christ was talking about when he was explaining these or telling these parables, which parables, for those of you who don't know, they're just this the classic definition of an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So Christ is hanging out with people who would relate to these stories, and he just shares this with them, and they kind of get it. You know, they're like, oh yeah, kind of like if you're a fan of baseball and, you know, you start talking about the Cardinals and how they whooped it up on the Braves, right? That was awesome. I'm surprised I didn't get an amen out of that. Of all things that I say today. No, I'm kidding. But St. Louis, I mean, that was, so you start relating, well, how does that relate to salvation and to Jesus? And how do you take that story and move it in it? That's what Christ did, and he did so masterfully. And so here's what happens is he tells the story about a man who's walking along and he finds this treasure that's on this ground laying over here. It may have been a box that was somewhat covered up by dirt, and he saw just the corner of it, and he goes and he clears the dirt off, and he goes down to the box and he opens it up, and in that box is some incredible treasure. I mean, right when we were kids, we dreamed of this. You know, we watch all the pirate movies and we see the treasure and we think, man, that would be so awesome to open that up, and you just think, look, it's incredible. And so what he does is he buries it back where it was and he covers it up and he goes to the landowner and he says, I want to buy your land. And so the owner puts this amazing price on the land. It must have been, you know, unreal expensive, I'm sure, because I'm wondering if the owner, you know, if he planted that treasure, then, you know, he's like, yeah, I know that's out there in the corner lot, so I probably ought to include that in the price. But he sold this land. And so the guy goes, he sells everything he has to be able to buy this land so that he can have this treasure. So this treasure has great value to him. Now, I've heard the expression that one man's junk is another man's treasure, right? I still wrestle with that, because when I watch like Storage Wars, I still see junk, you know? But I do see the concept behind it, that there's value in the person who there's value to the person who owns it. Sometimes it's sentimental value. Sometimes it's value because they know the price of what that would bring, as opposed to the person who owns it. You know, and then you of course have ethical kind of issues at times. But it's valuable to the person who owns it. Well, this person saw that treasure and said, "I must have it." And so there was great value on that. Now, one of the things I want to say before we even get to the second story, as we explain what these parables are, is that salvation is a treasure worth every sacrifice. Salvation is a treasure worth every sacrifice. And until we get to that point, we really don't want to give our lives to Jesus Christ. Like, again, for those of you who are here that say to yourselves, you know what? I hear you say this thing about salvation. I hear you say this thing about laying down your life for Jesus. But the thing is I like my life and I kind of want to do what I want to do and things are going good for me right now. And so maybe I'll do that when I'm older, or maybe I'll do that when my kids are grown, or, you know, you've got these excuses. And so salvation doesn't have that great value yet to you. And so you're not willing to sell all you have and go and get it. Well, today I'm going to talk to you here in a moment about what salvation is and what that gift is, what that treasure is that Christ is offering, and see if you don't change your mind, because I do think it's of great value. And maybe today you'll get it, maybe for the first time. But the second story, so this man sells all he has. He buys this land. The second story is a little bit different. Now, the first story, remember again, the man's walking along. He finds this treasure box. There's a piece of it that's hidden. Now, I'm embellishing just a little bit. I've got to tell the story, right? So there's the treasure box, and it's hidden and blah, blah, blah. There's the corner. So just go with me on this one. So there it is. He sees it. But as the story's saying, he's just walking along, and he sees the treasure. Okay? On the second story, it's a bit different. There's a man who is extremely excited about pearls. Just loves pearls. Now, when I studied this, I realized that in that time period, pearls were actually more valuable than gold. You know, so like gold was everywhere. And so pearls, they were hard to find. And so there was great value in these pearls. So it's probably the best thing that you could possibly have. And so as Jesus is telling the story, he's talking about the most awesome, incredible, valuable thing you could have. And this guy is chasing after these pearls. So he's accumulated quite a few pearls over the years. And he's bought them in many different ways. But then he comes across, as he's searching and searching and searching, he comes across this pearl. Oh man, and this pearl is like the Mac Daddy of all pearls, right? It's like, it's it. It is the pearl. I have no idea how a pearl is perfect and all that sort of stuff. But I'm just saying, it's the maybe it's the size of a basketball. I don't know. But it's, I mean, some of you ladies would be like, I would put that on a ring, you know, and what, this little thing? You know, just, ah, this is, but pearl, right? It's this big old pearl. And he sees it. And he thinks inside his mind, I have to have it. I have to have it. That has to be mine. And so he goes to everything that he has. At first, I read through it so quick, I thought he sold all the pearls he had to get it. But in Scripture, it actually says that who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. So he cleans everything out, including all of his pearls, and he buys that one pearl. So again, there's great value in what he's looking for. And I believe that salvation is a treasure worth every sacrifice. Worth every sacrifice. Now, let me tell you the difference between the two stories. Let's break them down just a little bit. Story number one. This is like a person who happens to run in to this stuff called Jesus. It's like these people who were listening to him, and he's like, some of you here are listening to me sharing these stories, and as he's talking to the disciples in this moment, he's talking about, you're going to run into these people who just, they're not even thinking about Jesus. They're not even thinking about eternal life. They're not thinking about God. They're not thinking about where they're headed when they die. They're just, that's not on their radar screen at all. And you and I, we've run into people like this, haven't we? I mean, there have been people where you start telling them about Jesus, and you're like, you're not giving this at the time of day, are you? I mean, you're really not thinking about it. However, what happens is once you start telling them, and they weren't ready for it. I mean, they weren't looking for it. Once you start telling them, their eyes start to open up and you sense their heart opening up and they start seeing that there is great value in what you're talking about. And so there's something to this salvation thing. There's something to this Jesus thing. And so what takes place is this only thing that a Holy Spirit can do is this heart transformation that takes place in front of you, where this person who is headed to McDonald's to get like a number two, right? With large fry and a Coke, all of a sudden got Jesus. I mean, this is just like unheard of, but he says, this is way more than anything else in my life. And so he understood the value of salvation, and he understood the call that Christ had on salvation. And many of us need to remember this. Those of us who are followers of Christ, remember what we had to pay for salvation? I mean, it is a gift from God, and it's not of works. And we know that it is something that we could not afford on our own whatsoever. But you remember that we must lay down our life for Christ. We have been bought with a price. We are his to do with whatever he wants. I don't want you to come forward and ask Jesus into your heart thinking that you're going to have this awesome, great, incredible life, and all it takes you to do is to pray a prayer. Listen, the salvation, the very moment where you say, Jesus is Lord, I'm a sinner, I confess you as Lord, and you receive him into your heart, you are saved. You are saved, you are saved, you are saved, and nothing's going to change that. But the call that you have on your life and the call that I have on my life is to be reminded daily that I have laid my life down and I have said to Christ that all I have is yours, because he bought me. He owns me. You say, well, man, Andy, wouldn't it have been better just to be your own owner? There is no own owner. There is no, like, I'm the president of my corporation. That doesn't happen. Because Scripture says we were once slaves to sin, and now we're slaves to righteousness. And so the deal is, if you're not a believer in Christ, Satan owns you. He owns you. And he owned me until I was 16 years old. And then I changed ownership because this boss is way better. I just want to tell you, you can change jobs. This is a good one. This is amazing to follow Christ. It is much better than what Satan has to offer, even though Satan says, man, what I have to offer is fun for the moment. Well, that's true. However, what Jesus has to offer is pretty stinking fun for the moment, too. So don't think that all of us as Christians are walking around with our head down going, yeah, I kind of have this treasure thing. It's great. It's all right, you know. But I mean, one day, maybe it'll come on and it'll work. But right now, it's like batteries aren't working in it. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, one day I'll get to heaven and I'm sure this will be really cool. But for right now, right? Wow, we don't have a clue, do we? Because the salvation that has been given to us is like now. It is like a life that is full of Jesus now. It is this life that Jesus has offered us to live in peace and gentleness and happiness and kindness and perseverance and to have faith and to experience life at its fullest, to where we can have an awesome, incredible time with no regret and no guilt and to worship God. Remember what we just experienced a minute ago? That was a gift from God. That's a gift from God moving in our hearts. And so we get to experience that, and that is a huge treasure. So the first one, he gets surprised by it. The second one, he's looking for it. The second guy is searching everywhere for this pearl, looking all over the place. That's for some of you who just continue to search. And you're searching through different religions and different denominations and different cults maybe. And you've just gone all over the map looking for enlightenment or nirvana or some, not the rock band, but the actual nirvana, right? And you just get this, chase that you've been after, and you're just trying everything because you say, I don't want to get this wrong. And man, I tip my hat to you. I say, you do not want to get this wrong. This is a big deal. It's a huge decision. And I know that you've been trying in all these different places. But like this person, they look and they look and they look, and then they see Jesus. And they say, this is it. This is the pearl of all pearls, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is it. And they give up all the rest of that. And they take Christ. So today I'm going to end with this. I want to share with you just a little bit, in a few minutes, of trying to explain what this treasure is. I said a moment ago that this treasure brings us so many great things. I think of Scripture and it talks about that it brings us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. These are gifts from that treasure. The same treasure releases us from the penalty of sin, which is what? The separation from God for all of eternity. Do you remember earlier when I said that you can be lost and you can still experience love, and that is a gift from God? Hell will be an absence of love. It will be an absence of peace. It will be an absence of joy. None of that you will see in hell. But this treasure, we can actually afford it because of how Christ set it up. It's something that cost way too much, and we have way too little. You see, Christ, I never want to take the focus off of Christ. He paid the great price. Christ is the one who laid it all down on behalf of you and of me. And it's not something that I can just say, well, I'll die to myself and then I earn salvation. We don't earn salvation. It truly is a gift. It is something that we cannot pay for. What we throw in the plate to put towards the final payment of this salvation, it's kind of like what Paul said. It's just filthy rags. It's just not worth much. But Christ looks at that and says, I can work with that. You lay down your life, I can work with that. And Christ covers the rest. He is perfect. He laid down his life for us. Not only does it require, salvation require a life to be paid, but it has to be a perfect life. And you and I, we fall very short from this. It is God who made the treasure affordable to us. Do you know in Romans 5:8, it says that, but God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We deserve nothing. We didn't have to clean ourselves up to experience this salvation. We didn't have to pay that price. Christ paid the price. You see, for those of you who don't know Christ, it's already been paid for. How crazy would it be that this treasure is being offered to you and it's already been paid for, and you still say, I don't want it. I don't want it. Man, today, would today be the day that you say, I receive that treasure. I receive that gift. So what do we deserve because of our sin? Well, it's very clear in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Death is that separation from God. It's that absolute separation from him, from all of eternity. Where scripture was very clear when it talked about the weeds and the wheat, that the weeds would be thrown into the fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be no happiness there. So hell is not, you guys have seen movies like I've seen movies, I'm sure. Hell is not that place that we're able to say, you know what? It's going to be a party there. It's going to be a much better party than heaven. It's not. It's not. Don't think that it's going to be a good place. The wages of sin is death. We deserve death. But what do we get through Christ? We get treasure. Because the rest of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation is a treasure worth every sacrifice. We must experience the kingdom of God today. Experience salvation today. Whether you've been looking for this treasure for years or simply stumbled onto it today, Christ has the treasure waiting for you. Come and get it.